Okay, so we're on top mem bays today. So 42a mem bays, Amud Aleph, we're around five lines down. So it's in the sugya with Chanifas. We said that it's a big avera when to be machnif. It means to flatter somebody who's really, you know, not a tzaddik. And even if you just say the truth and you just say the positive elements, that's wrong as well and misleads people. So let's see back in the Gemara. So it's around line six. Va'amar Blazar, Va'edashesh Bechanufa. If you have a congregation of people that's, totally permeated with chanifas, me'usa kanita, it's repulsive like anita. Repulsive, it means that, people in general have to stay away from anita. Zman Chazal, everybody knew who was anita. You have to stay away from anita. Kinemar kiedah chanef dalmud. So he quotes the pasuk in Iyov. It says that a congregation that's chanef, a flattering congregation, is galmud. Gamu means like forlorn, is the way they translate in the art scroll. But he says, Shekim b'krachei ayam, in literal cities, L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L, korin lanida galmude, korinida galmuda. My galmuda, gilula da mibala. The bachet's word da, that she is like removed from her husband. And Rashi quotes the pasuk. If you look at Rashi, top Rashi, gilula bidula, she's separated. Come on, bayigamal, bayigal yelad bayigamal. That with Yitzchak, he grew and the mother weaned him. He's separated from the mother. So the Nida is like separated. So if you're a Chanef, Chanifas, it means you're not in close relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says, Ba'amar Reb Lazar, Kol Eda Sheish B'Chanufa, any Eda that's like, permeated with Chanifas, the Sof Gola. In the end, it goes into Galus, into exile. Hivhacha, Kedach Chanef Gamud. It says over here, Yadat Chanef Galmud, that's the same pasuk we quoted from before, that the congregation that's filled with Chanefas is Galmud. Somebody unmuted themselves. Come on, 1 second. Not good. It says, Yadat Chanef Galmud, Uchtiv Hatam, it says in Yeshaya, Yamart Delavavet, Miyalad Liyarele, Vanishkulab Galmudak, Golab Sarab Gomer. Does anybody know, whether in Zoom or here live, this is a pasuk that we say in a Haftorah. Does anybody recognize which pasuk from what Haftorah? It's, I only know it because I looked it up, but it's Haftorah for Parshas Ekev, which we're going to lay in during the summer. It's talking about like Zion is speaking, like the Jewish people are speaking. So it's Vatomer Sion Azavani Hashem. Hashem, Sion said that God forsook me. But then it says, then after the redemption, she's going to say, it's like the saying, like, Sion is like a person. You say in your heart, where did all these people come from? I'm like bereaved, I'm galmuda, like forlorn, I'm in galus, I'm surah. So the point is, and removed, but the point is that it mentions galmuda and it mentions gola near it. So that's linking the two of them. So it's like making like a type of Zerah Shava, but it's between, one is the Pasuk and the Kuvim, one's the Pasuk and the Bim. Now, one thing, Rabbi Leibowitz today, he was talking about, why do we say that it's that the Eidah's Gola? Why don't we say the Eidah's also Shula and Sura and things like that? So he was quoting from somebody who wanted to say that there's no Vav with the Gola. And it's like to link those two together. There was something else earlier when it says that you're like Anita. Say he was quoting, I think, from the Ben Yehoyada. Why like Anita? Why not like a maid or something like that? Because the Anita, the tumah comes out from her. And the Chanifas, in other words, like the person himself is creating it, or the congregation was coming from them. So that's why it like links the Anita, to the tumah of the Chanifas to Anita. And then they said also, he said also like this, that by Anita, let's say it's Tumas Mace, so a Kohen can't walk into the Oel with a mace, Tumas Mace. But if there's Anita in the building, he can walk into there. So it means even though like they're estranged, but Kaddish Baruch Hu can still be involved with them a little bit more, or is involved with them a little bit more. So now let's go, we're around 20 lines down on Membeis Amud Aleph. So Amr of Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Arba Kito Reit Makabel Pnei Shechina. There are four groups of people who will not be Zocha to be Makabel Pnei Shechina, to receive God's divine presence. Kat Leitzim, the group of Leitzim scoffers, the Kat Chaneifim, the like flatterers, we can call them. He says, the cut, you have shakarim, but on the side he said, be shakranim, the group of liars, the cut misafri lashon hara, the people who think lashon hara, cut leitzim, the thieves, mashak yedo lotzim. The Gemara quotes pasuk in Hosea, Hashem has withdrawn his hands from the leitzim. And leitzim is, you have something serious and they like throw a joke at it, that's a leitz. You know, something which is very chashuv and they make light of that. He says, cut chanefim, again, we've been talking about chanefis a lot, is like where the person is like, you know, unduly flattering the person, things like that. The thief, lolufanav chanef yavo. Before him, he this pasuk in Eov again, for God, the chanef, the flatterer can't come. Kat shakarim or shakranim, the thief dover shakarim lo yitol negeri nai. That pasuk in Tehillim, the one who speaks falsely, will not be established before me. And kat misafre lashon hara, the thief, kilo kel kapei thresha ata, you, Hashem, do not like evil, lo yigor hara, like evil does not abide with you. And what does that mean? Tzadik ata, this is the explanation now. Tzadik ata Hashem, lo yigor b'mor hara. You're tzadik, evil doesn't dwell with you, but look at Rashi, third line of the top of Rashi, lo yigor hara, lo yigor hara, gabi misafre lashon hara. This pasuk is said in reference to the Masapir Lashon Hara. You need Rashi. The Tibu Parshita, the same parak in Tehillim, I think one is pasuk A, one is pasuk Yud. It says, the Tibu Parshita ki ein b'fiu nechona b'gomer. His mouth is not speaking properly. So the Gemara has the psukim, you know, to establish all those things. Tadra Lachim Nemari. Yashkoach, you read another parak in Masakot Sota. And
question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Categories 2 and 3, one would think, has some overlap.
Which two?
The Hanifim and the Shakranim.
The Leitzim and the Shakranim?
No, the Hanifim and the Shakranim.
Oh, the Hanifim and the Shakranim. That could be. It doesn't necessarily have to be so. In other words, like we learned already, the Hanifas could be truly honest, but you're not saying the Ra also is Hanifus and Shakranim, you're just a liar. But I could hear how there could be some overlap. There's nothing, you know, nobody says that you have to be hermetically sealed from one another. You know, the whole chavra gets along with each other well, you know, they enjoy having parties together, and, you know, selling Hanifus and Sheker and Lashon Hara and Leithanus. Like they have a party. One person's a Leitz, one's a Chanef, and the person's, oh, you say good stuff.
A Shabbaton.
The other person's a Shakran and a Masapir Lashon Hara. All
right. How do you like it in the Marim? Yeah. Usually you say Chanim in Hebrew. Yeah, same thing as the.
You mean in modern Hebrew, you say Tanfanim?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that Tanfan. Could be. That could be. Okay.
Order on this.
Say again what?
In order, these four.
What do you mean?
Getting worse, getting better?
This, I don't know. Zikmar didn't say that. Okay, let's see further.
As bad.
Okay. Okay. Hadron left in the Nemarin. Okay. Now we're ready for, let me just show everybody who's here and you'll see who's there. Okay, here's the people who are present. And we have a nice cover on Zoom also tonight. Let me see. Let me see what we have here. One second. Oh, I messed everything up. One second. Okay, everybody see me? Good. Okay. Right. So we have 4 people on Zoom other than me, and 3 people here other than me. So it's 7 people other than me. So with me, Jay.
Okay, let's see. Rabbi, you're here with us. So it's 4 and 4.
All right, let's take a look further. Okay. Okay, now the next Mishnah, next parak is the 8th parak. Now, I was talking about Meshuach Melchama. Meshuach Melchama is the Kohen who's anointed to address the soldiers when they're going to war. That's Meshuach Melchama. And the connection is, if you remember, the Mishnah we did on Lamed Beis, or you did on Lamed Beis on last Sunday, said certain things have to be in Lashon Kodesh. And one of them is when the Meshuach Melchama, That has to be dafka in Hebrew, right? That's what she says. Elon Emor Belashana Kodesh.
Is he a coin or not a coin?
He's a coin. Meshuach Melchama is a coin. So Meshuach Melchama, the Sha'ash with the Berl Am Belashana Kodesh, the Am Adir. So Mishnah says when he would address the people and he's addressing the army, he's speaking Hebrew. Shinemar Bayak for a Kumo Lokma and Gashakwe, Meshuach Melchama. So the Gemara, Mishnah is saying it's referring to the Kohen as Meshuach Melchama, He says, "Diber la'am b'lashon kodesh." To speak the piece of b'lashon kodesh. We don't know what the limud is. The Gemara is going to clarify what the limud. But based on b'diber la'am, the Gemara is going to learn it has to be b'lashon kodesh. All right. He says, "V'amar lehem shma Yisrael v'gomer," and he'll say to the people, "This is in parts of Shoftim. Let's say Shma Yisrael, atem krivim ayom la milchamal oydechem. You're coming close to war with your enemy. Al oydechem below al achichem." So the point is, you're going with the war with your enemy, but not with your brethren, your fellow Jews. Below Yehuda al Shimon, below Shimon al Binyamin. There was not Yehuda's not having a milcham with Shimon. Shimon's not having a milcham with Binyamin. Shim tiflubi adam yirachamu aleichem. Because if you have a war with Jews, so they'll show you some rachmanis. So there's one issue I saw in the Gemara, and Rabbi Leibowitz mentions, well, why does the Tana mention these specifically these shvatim, Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin? So he said that this Mishnah was compiled or composed after they came back from Babel. And at that point in time, the Shvatim that were there were Yehuda and Binyamin. Shimon is also in the Chalik of Yehuda in the map. So those were the Shvatim they had there. That's why he mentioned it. He says, Tamash Nemar, and that we quote Pasuk from Divrei HaYamim. So in Divrei HaYamim, it talks about a war between Pekach ben Romayah and Achaz. So Achaz was Chizkiyahu's father. Achaz was Chizkiyahu HaMelech's father, and he was a big Oved HaBazar, a terrible Rasha. And Achaz went to war. Again, they had, you know, two kingdoms by that time, like the 10 northern tribes and the two southern ones. So Pekah ben Ramayahu was the king of the Sereda Shvatim, and Achaz lost, and they took many soldiers captive. So they were going to sell them as slaves or keep them as slaves. And then there was a Navi, Odeid, and Odeid said, is that right? You know, they're exactly right. They're Einar von uns, they're one of us. So I think you should free them, and they take them and they treat them. So it says Shinemar by Kumana Shimashinakubashemot, that the people who had been named, designated by Chaziku Bishop Yah, they took control of the captive soldiers. All the people who didn't have clothes, they put clothes on from the booty. By Albishum, they dressed them. By Anilum, they put shoes on them. By Achilum, they gave them food. By Ashkum, they gave them drink. By Yisuchum, they anointed them. By Inahalum, by Chamorim, Lechol Koshel. Anybody who couldn't walk, they put on a chamor, on a donkey. By Yom Yerecho, Yeretzmarim, Eitzel, Achayhem. And they brought them back to Yerecho, which is near Yehuda, and then they live up and go. By Ashubu Shomron Begomer. And then they return back to Shomron, which was the capital of the 10 northern tribes. But the coin says, Aloy Bechem Atem Holkim. You're going to war with your enemy. He says, Shim Tepubi Adam, if you fall captive or, you know, under their power, Eimachim Inalechim, not going to have any Rachmanasan. Now, he's saying this to like shore them up, like the idea being that when a person fights and come on, hey pals, let me go, you know, then you fight more. He says, let not your heart be soft. Al tiru b'al pach b'zu, don't be fearful, don't panic. Go there. Al yirach l'babchem, they tell us susim. Don't like, you know, we get soft heart. Were scared because of the neighing of their horses. He says, "B'tzechsua charabot," and don't be afraid from the glint of their sword. You know, like they're like shining. Al tiru nehagafatresim, don't be afraid from the banging of their shields. In other words, like the armies would bang their shields together. You know, to like to scare the enemy. Like where do you think anywhere else where it has hagafat? You had this word hagafat elsewhere, hagafat latot, base mikdash, that, you know, like Levim would be in charge of hagafat latot, closing the doors. He says, b'shivara kal gasim, so it's different shatim, but the Rashi takes it, shivara kal gasim, like the mass multitude of their army. The Rabbi Leibowitz said that the Rambam says shivara kal gasim, some keli or something, al tach b'zu, don't panic, Mikol Kranot, from the sound of their horns, like they blow horns when they go to war. Al Ta'artsu, they call Tzvachot. You know, don't be afraid because the soldiers cry out. Why? because God goes with you. They come against you with the might of mortal man. You're coming with the strength of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Plishtim came against us with the strength of Goliath. In the end, Goliath fell by the sword. You know, David HaMelech, you know, he's got the slingshot, and then he takes the sword and chops off his head. He says, and then the Plishtim, the whole army, was defeated. They ran. He says, B'nei Amon, B'nei Kenosha Shovah, that the Amon came against you with the power of Shobach. Shobach was, this is in the Navi, Hadar Ezer goes to war with Yehuda, and his general is Shobach. He says, Maya Sofo, Sof Nafal Becherev, in the end he fell by sword, but Afluimo, the Atem, but you the Jews, the Atem king, you're in a different category. God is there to fight with you. Zemachane Haron. This refers to like the Aaron. They would take the Aaron with them when they would go to Melchama. So you feel like Hashem's presence is with you. All right? All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah?
How come they're not worried that Corey's going to become a Met in battlefield?
Well, he's not going to be on the battlefield. He's, you know, before they go into battle. We'll see in a minute. He's going to address them twice. But he's not going to the battlefield. He'll address them before they go to battle. But
not
he No. All right. All right. Let's keep moving. So we're on the fifth wide line on the base of Adala. So Gemara, Mike Amar. Now Mishnah said they had a drasha. It says Vidiber La'am B'Lashmona Kodesh. Mishnah said that the Torah says that he, the Kohen, will speak to the Am. And the Mishnah says it's obviously where that's B'Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, my Kamar. So Rashi is Hei Al B'Lashon HaKodesh. How do we learn B'Lashon HaKodesh? So Hachi Kamar, Shenemar B'Diber, here it says B'Diber, Ulahalan Omer, Moshe D'Ber, V'Loktim Yemen, B'Kol, Sinei B'Gzimr Shabbat. It says by Matan Torah, the Moshe Ben would speak, and Hashem would respond with a voice, like to make his voice louder, so he speaks to the people. This is by Matan Torah. Wait one second. Just like Matan Torah is Lashon Kodesh, the certain people will give Lashon Kodesh. I've come Lashon Kodesh. That's that raya. Or let me go further. You'll keep up the question. Wait. Okay. Now, Tamar Rabbanan, we learned the braisa. The Nigasha Kohen B'Diber La'am. The Kohen will come close and speak to the nation. I might think the Torah says the Kohen will speak. Any Kohen who wants to could do it. That's what I would think. So he says Tam and Lomar. The Dibru HaShotrim. So elsewhere in that same parsha, he says that the Shotrim will speak to the people. In other words, the Kohen will gash l'am and he'll say, "Don't be afraid." And then the Shotrim will come forward and say, "You know, Mia Ish Shari Rasi Shavalo Lekacha. You know, Nata Kerem Lo Kalalo. You know, and Mia Reya Brurach Leiva Vilechesh Beito." So he says the Dibru HaShotrim, my Shotrim B'Muna, just like the Shotrim are appointed, Af Kohen B'Muna. So too the Kohen asks me, "How many?" Who's appointed specifically for this task? So the Gemara says that in a Kohen Gadol, maybe the Torah is referring to the Kohen Gadol who's appointed. So Dumi the Shoter, it has this like a connection between the Kohen and the Shoter. Ma Shoter Shesh Mun Al Gabab. Every Shoter has a moon. In other words, the Shofet, he works for the Shofet, and the Shoter he executes, you know, judgment. In other words, if the Shofet says, you know, you do this, you do that. So just like the Shoter has a Shofet on top of him, Af Kohen Shishbun Al Kabab. So he's talking about a Kohen who has somebody over him. The Kohen Gadol is the top fellow. It says Kohen Gadol Nami the Melech Al Kabab, but the Kohen Gadol has somebody over him. He's got the Melech is over the Kohen Gadol. This is the Avodah Toka Amar. And when it comes to the Avodah, the base of Mikdash, the Kohen Gadol is like the top honcho. So he can't be it. The Amos Skan, maybe it's referring to the Skan Kohen Gadol, the fellow who was appointed like to be the understudy to fill in for the Kohen Gadol, Skan Lavamunu. The Skan is not appointed for this task. The Tanya, we learned the Brisa. I'm Reb Chanina Skan HaKohenim. Reb Chanina, who was Skan HaKohenim, said, "Lamas Skan Lavamunu. What is the appointed? Shemirabu Pesul Kohen Gadol Nifas B'Shamish Hatav. He's appointed for the sole purpose. If something happens to the Kohen Gadol, he takes over, but not to be the Shulch Malkama." All right, let me do a few more lines and we'll pause. The Amar Lehem Shema Yisrael. So the Kohen Mishul Malkama addresses the people, and he says, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel. So he says, Ma'ishana Shema Yisrael, why does he pick those words to address them? So if you look at Rashi, three lines to the bottom, Ma'ishana Shema Yisrael, Lama Matil Shonta. Why does he open with the word Shema Yisrael? Amr, back in the Gemara, three lines to the bottom, Amr Yochanan, Shum Rav Shim Yochai, Yochanan says, and we just had the Yort side of Rav Shim Bar Yochai yesterday, very apropos. So Rav Yochanan has the Mesora from the Tana of Rav Shim Bar Yochai. And says Mishum, it means he didn't hear directly from him, as a Mesora from him, or sometimes Mishum means he wasn't his Talmud. But anyway, he says, Amar Lana Kashbar from Israel, I feel like Kiam Timel Kishon Shakri Ba'arvid, Yatim and Sarbi Adam. So it's alluding to the fact, in other words, the fact that the Torah says to address them this way is to teach the people that you remember that even if all they did was recite Shema in the morning and the evening, they're still in good shape. And Rabbi Libus is quoting and says, Vagita bo yoma v'layla. So one opinion of the Gemara learns, even on a minimal level, you did Shema in the morning and the evening. Sadly enough, today, even that is not so assured that the person says Kriyat Shema in the morning and the evening, but that's the idea. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yes. Why are we highlighting the word Shema Yisrael? We're talking about things that need to be said in Hebrew, but Shema can be said in any Lashon.
No.
That's a language.
Yeah. In other words, Torah describes what the Meshulach Malkama says to the people. And the Torah says he opens his words and says Shema Yisrael. In other words, right. Not the recital of Shema Yisrael, but like, hear Israel. But he addresses the people, Shema Yisrael.
In so, what language?
In Hebrew. So why does the Torah say you should open up with Shema Yisrael? Why is that the first word? So the Gemara says it's alluding to the fact of the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael. In other words, that mitzvah to remind, to like the illusion that they should realize that even if they only recite Shema in the morning and the evening, they're still in good shape. That's what it's saying.
But that's a particular mitzvah that can be done in a different
way. In a chinami. But in other words,
I just think it's ironic.
Okay, I'm going to move forward. Okay, two lines at the bottom. It's all focus. So two lines at the bottom. Are you rachel femal tru kulei? So let your heart not be sore. Don't be afraid. Kulei. So tana rabanan pamayim edaberimam. So the Braisa says the Kol Mishulach Malkama addresses the army in any campaign twice. Atapas far, once in the border city. In other words, they're going outside of Eretz Israel. So once when they get to the border town, maybe Betula or whatever, you know, they're right before they're about to leave the border, he addresses them. But Atapas Malkama, one, like on the eve of battle, like when they're ready to go to battle. Basfar mahu there. So what does he say to them when they're at the border? He says, turn page, Shemu divrei ma'arkei ha-melkama b'chizru. He says, you should listen to the words that relate to the regiments and go back. Let's take a look at Rashi. Shemu divrei ma'arkei melkama. In other words, you have to hear who's ru'i to go to war and who's appropriate they should go back home. Because ru'a ru'im lachzor, if you go and but I buy it, if you built a house and you dedicated, but ata kerem, and you didn't, you planted a vineyard, be'rasi shah, you betrothed a woman, be'arei barakli about the one who's afraid. So he says, but avogav v'tibahem v'tibru ha-shotrim, and even though in the Chumash, it says the shotrim are going to say those words, the kamen imrinan, in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to explain, the kohen kamar lahu, the kohen is going to say it, el shoshotrim hashmin v'rav la'am. The shotrim then are going to like say it louder. So in other words, even though Torah says the debru ha-shotrim, the Gemara understands that the kohen is going to say it, and then the shotrim are going to like say it louder, publicize it to the people. Okay, then let's see back in the Gemara on the top line, and that's the way Rabbi Leibowitz said as well. So he says, what does he say when they're on the eve of the battle? So it's dividing it up twice. So in other words, his message on the Sfar is who should go forward and who should go back home. And then on the eve of battle, his message is, don't be afraid, Hashem is with you. So he says, now he says four things. Al yirach l'mavchem, al tiru v'al takvazu v'al taratzu. K'neged arba adrim shofik kokav mosim. Each correspond to four things that the enemy would do, which is magifin, that they bang the shields together. Umarian, they blow the horns. He says, tzvachim, they scream out. Rome sin, they cause their horses to stop. And so those four Lashonot, opposite the four things that they do. In other words, like Zorknish. Okay. Yeah. Now a few more lines and then we'll pause. So line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Line 5. Plishtim bau benitz kanoshal Goliath b'kulei. So the Mishnah says the Plishtim came with the strength of Goliath. It says, Goliath, Amar b'yochanan sh'amad b'gidui panim l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yochanan says, and it sounds like it's related to the name, that Goliath displayed benitz gidui panim, spoke with a lot of chutzpah. He said, Shenemar b'rulacham ish b'yered alai. Picks, in other words, if you remember in the Navi, so the armies of, you know, Shaul are lined up against the armies of the Plishtim. And then Goliath, Isha Benayim, goes out each day and he says, you know, pick a champion amongst you to fight me. And if, you know, if he wins, we'll be your servant. And if I win, you'll be our servants. And he's like this big, gigantic guy. So he says, Berulacham Ish V'yered alai. Pick a man and let him come down to me. Vain ish l'kach baruch hu. So because I'll understand that when Goliath said ish, he meant like the Ribono Shel Olam. Shneimar Hashem ish melchama. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu in my pillow, I got ben ish. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? He's such a chutzpah guy. Mm-hmm. And he said about ish. Well, you know who I'm going to cause his downfall through a ben ish, like a youngster, like David Amela. Shneimar b'David ben ish efrati hazeh. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. So before we had Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rishon Bar Yochai, in other words, so now Rabbi Yochanan is citing the Tana Rabbi Meir. He says, "Bishlosha mechomod lechado pivlo Torah Shah." Like lechado means like to be entrapped. Like in three places, Goliath spoke in a way that like led to his downfall. Echad rulakam ish v'yered elai. He said, pick somebody, be a Raidalai, don't come down to me. Look at Rashi. He said, be a Raidalai, mashma alai, shahu yigbar. So it sounds like from the sentence that the other person would be victorious over Goliath. Shahu yigbar. He says, the habalil meimar, be lach anything. In other words, he should have said, pick somebody to fight me. He says, be a Raidalai, he'll come down on me. It sounds like the person would be victorious over him. That's one. The idach, the other thing he said, that he opened up, in other words, his first statement was, if your fellow defeats me, then that's it. So he's like speaking, like Rashi says, Ticha Piv L'Ra'ato. He says, V'ida, the third Pashuk, the Ka'amali David, David said to him, Hakelav Anochi, Ketaba Eli, the Machlot. Says that Goliath said to David, "Am I in other words, like I'm this big champion, and who do you send me this little kid with the slingshot?" So he says, "Hakelav Anochi, am I a dog? You come with me with sticks, but in other words, he's not even in the parsha. But a lie is like sounds like he'll defeat me." So the Gemara says, "David nami amalei," but David himself said something similar. You come, David says, with a sword, a spear and a javelin. So, but atah ba'ilai, and that sounds like the same thing that Goliath was. So the Gemara says, Hadar amarle, but then David says, Manochi ba'ilecha b'shem Hashem tzvakot, elo tamar achot Yisrael, asher chirafka. In other words, David HaMelech, his overall statement is, like I'm coming to defend Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, like the whole statement redounds the kavod for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look at Rashi. David hadar kavod lebani ba, but ain't you p'tika pelera? The amalei atabam shol bi aydi devar she'ein bo mash. In other words, you're coming to try to champion over me with something that has no, you know, significance, like the cherev, the kidon, and the chanit. I come in the name of God. So it's like magnifying Hashem's role. So that wasn't there. Okay, let me do a few more lines and we'll pause. The Plishti came every morning and every evening. Abram Yochanan came to Batla Mikhitra Shakri Barbi. He wanted to be Batla Israel from saying Kriyat Shema. That was in Hashkem Baharei. By Katsev Arba Im Yom, he stood there for 40 days. He kept challenging them for 40 days. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kineged Arba Im Yom, Shinanaba Hen Torah. This corresponds to the 40 days the Torah was given. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days. The 40 days, Klal Yisrael didn't get the whole Torah. So because they didn't get the Torah for 40 days, that opened up like sort of like a space for Goliath to be able to challenge them for 40 days. Let's take a look at Rashi. Kineged Arba Im Yom, Ikara Torah L'Ktabeo, Torah was delayed and being received, Mitanlo Koach L'Ktabeo. So he got the Koach to stand in front of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let me pause. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anybody? Well, okay, Yosef has and everybody else. Say again, repeat.
40 days referring to? After the
Before the Golden Calf.
You have to go learn the Torah. What do you learn?
I'm saying, so the Metzia says, well, you remember when Klal Yisrael, remember that they said, Daber et ha'imano v'nishma, v'yidaber l'tikun in the mud. If we can't take hearing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly, so I don't know if more would have been given at the Har Sinai. It was like, again, but it means that ultimately, though, they had to wait 40 days till they got the Torah. That's what it's saying. So because of that 40 days, so that gave like a sort of opening for Goliath to challenge them. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts in Zoom world or here? Everybody good? Okay, I'm going further. All right. Now, wait, I have some pieces here. I've got to say pieces a little bit later. Okay. Let me pause this thing. I've got to say something. All right. Now, we mentioned about Ayirach Levavchem. This is from the Al-Hadah. The Rambam writes that when one enters a battle, he must realize that the outcome is in the hands of Hashem, and if one worries about his family and thereby begins fearing for his life, he's in violation of the above decided Yisra of Ayirach Levavchem. It's very hard to legislate emotional feelings, but that's what he says. Rabbeinu Yonah applies his Yisra to all difficult and foreboding situations. A person is obligated, come what may, to have trust and faith in Hashem and not to despair and worry. So, you know, it's very hard to internalize that message. But, you know, there are situations when everybody feels like lost and deep fear. But like he's saying, like, Al Yirach Levavchem applies to all of us. Ramban disagrees and maintains that Al Yirach Levavchem is not an interdiction, you are forbidden to be afraid. It was rather an assurance. You have no cause for fear. It was is Ayirach Levavchem, I order you not to be afraid. Whereas Ayirach Levavchem, like they're saying, like Zorkich, don't worry because Hashem is with you. Right. He says the Meshuv Mokamet does not tell the troops that the Torah forbids them to fear war. Rather, he encourages and reassures them that they have no cause for fear, for Hashem will certainly help them conquer the enemy. The Megillas Esther questions Ramban's interpretation of the Pasuk, asking, how is it possible for the Shul Chama to assure the troops of victory and to reassure them they have no cause for fear, when in fact there are casualties in almost every battle, and in some situations the enemy is victorious. In fact, the Shul Chama in his remarks alludes to the prospect of death in battle, for he announces that the newlyweds should return from the front. Maybe the person will die in war. In answer, the Tzidkus Yaakov, the stifler, explains that indeed the Mishul Chama does not guarantee victory, because if Klal Yisrael is not meritorious, they certainly can lose the war. Rather, he reassures them that the frightening sounds emanating from the enemy camp has absolutely no bearing on the outcome of the war, and therefore should not be feared. He explains to the troops that the outcome of the war depends only on whether Klal Yisrael is worthy of victory in Hashem's eyes, and not on the size and might of the warring armies. All right, now, it's very shy to know with Israel, you know, we have a Jewish army now. All right, now, All right. Now, he's got a story here about lying, but maybe we'll save that for the end. Let me go further. So, we're back in the Gemara. Now, about 10 lines above where it gets wide. So, by say Isha Beinayim, Ma'achot Plishtim V'Gomer. So, the Navi refers to Goliath as Isha Beinayim. So, the Pshuto Shemekra, the way they brought down the article from Rashi, is Isha Beinayim from the word Bein. In other words, like he's standing between the two camps. The camps of the Machane Israel and the camps of the Plishtim, Isha Beinayim. Or Isha Beinayim, he came from mixed the Plishtim. But the Gemara has a different drasha. My Beinayim, Amarav Shemavuna Mikomum. He was built up from any mum. In other words, his Goliath was, it was built up, and he's like the strong guy, and he doesn't have any, like any defects, Shmuel Amar Beinoni Shiba Achav. He was Beinoni with his brother. So the Navi says that he was one of four brothers. So one brother, they're all gigantic. So he was like the biggest, one of the biggest ones. Right, but you know, wasn't the right, and it was like the middle of all the brothers. But the war takes it that the middle is like the best. In other words, now the Rabbi Shila Amar Shua Sui Kibinyan. It's like a building, like you know, like he says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bar Mea Papi Bechara Nani. He says Rabbi Yochanan says that he was the son of like 100 stepfathers and one nani, one biological father, meaning that his mother, who Chazal identifies as Orpah, you know, that she, you know, she had, right. So the 100 men, you know, so everybody's, you know, Zera was getting mixed in with the other, but only one father. But that's
the thing. He was so strong.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But Goliath Shimon Gat. His name was Goliath from Gat. The city Gat was one of the cities of the Plishtim. So Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught a Brisa, she called Dashan Imo Gat. In other words, why is he begat? No, he's not from the city of Gat, the way Rav Yosef understands Pasuk, but Gat was one of the Philistine cities, is that everybody like pressed his mother like a god, like a wine press, like you press grapes. So everybody was like, you know,
using and abusing.
Right. Steve Ma'arod, the Queen of Marachod, and one of the Pesukim, it says, this is written Ma'arod, but it's pronounced Marachod, the Queen Ksiv. It means like the regiments of the Plishtim. Tani Rav Yosef taught a brisa, shakul he'eru b'imo. So ma'arod, hara'a, is the beginning of the sexual act. Everybody had relations with the mother. So you get the idea. Tiv harafa, tiv orpa. So one pasuk she's referred to as harafa, another pasuk in Megillat Rut, she's called orpa, Rabbi Shmuel, chadamar harafashma. So one said her real name was harafa, but lamanik rashma orpa, why is she called orpa? So people would have sex with her, like, you know, anal sex, you know, like, it's like, you know, like degrading type of thing. So, Bechadamar, Orpa Shema. One says her name was Orpa, Belamanik Shema Harafa. Why was she called Harafa? She's called Dashin Otak Harifot. Everybody would press against her, like, Harafot are like these pressed grains, like the crushed kernels of grain. Bechainu Omer, and he quotes a Pasuk. This is where, with David HaMelech, with Avshalom, so two of David's men, like, escaped from the camp with Avshalom, intelligence, you know, one is, I think, Achimaatz and somebody else, and they're fleeing, and the people from Machane Avshalom are pursuing them, and they come to somebody, and the person, they lets them slide down the well, and then the wife puts a cover on the well, and on top of the cover, she puts kernels of grain, to, you know, mislead people who are looking for them. Like, in other words, if, like, I'm working with the grain and things like that. So he's just bringing a pasuk to prove that harifot is kernels of grain, or crushed kernels of grain. She spread, like, the curtain over the amount opening of the well, but stuck on the harifot, and she spread over the crushed kernels, always, like, as if to dry out the kernels, and so somebody pursuing them, we think, oh, it's like, you know,
not here, right?
The Ibay name Amihach, but where I can say from this pasuk, Im Tichatesh Avil Blatesh Betok Harifot. If you would crush like the fool with a crush, you know, with a Blatesh is like the, you know, mortar with a mortar, Betok Harifot, you know, with Be'eli, Betok Harifot Be'eli with the crushed grains, the Eli with the pestle. Okay? But the point is how we thought of the crushed grains. Midar ba'at ela, you'll do le harafa begat by plubia David Yarabadab. So these four fellows, which are Goliath and his siblings, were born to harafa and they fell in the hands of David and his servants. Maininhu, who were they? Amrav Chista, Safu Madon, Goliath, Yishpi Benov. So Rav Chisda says one brother was Saf, the other Madon, third Goliath, and the fourth Yishpi Benov. The only question is why do you need Rav Chisda to tell you this? The Navi mentions it itself, so I'm not clear on this. They mentioned the source in the art scroll, but I didn't see anything.
And they all died.
Don't know. So he says here, by Plubiyad David Biyadavadav, but Tishtiv, so they fell in the hands of David, Now David is a descendant of Rut, and Goliath is a son of Orpah. So remember, Rut and Orpah, Shavuos is coming up in a few weeks, and we're going to lay in Megillat Rut. And Megillat Rut, it says that they married Machlon and Chilion. They married two brothers, so they're two sisters-in-law. So he says, so it's all in the family, so to speak, all in the mishpacha. But Orpah's descendants fall in the hands of David HaMelech. So he says, so this is when Naomi is going back to Eretz Israel. So Orpah kisses the mother-in-law and says, Lehitraot, right? But Ruth clung to her. So Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo B'nei Hanashuka, that the descendants of Hanashuka, so you could say the one who kissed, which is Orpah, but Neshuka really means the one who was kissed. So he said, the Ben Yoyada says that Naomi, in turn, kissed Orpah, and somehow that took out the last good that was in Orpah, whatever. He says, In other words, obviously, Ruth is on a higher level. She's sticking with the mother-in-law. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, like, B'nei HaNeshuka should fall in the hands of B'nei HaDebuka. Darash Rava, Bishar Arba Demaot Sharid Orpah Al Chamotah, for the four tears that Ruth, that Orpah shed for her mother-in-law. So it says twice in the Megillah, the Megillat Rut, says twice that Batisena Kolan Batifkana, that Rut and Orpah cried, and then it says again. So first they cry and they're going with her, and then they cry again, and then Orpah, you know, splits and Rut stays with her. So the Gemara takes it that each time they cry, so it's focusing on Orpah, she cries the first time, is it one tear from each eye, cries the second time, another tear from each eye. So four tears. So Darash Rav, Bishar Arbat Mo, Sharid Orpah Kamota, the merit of those four tears, Zachtavi Tzimina Arba Agiburim, she was Zoche to have four great warriors descend from her, Shinemar, Batisena Kolan Batiftena Od. In other words, they cried again, that's the four tears. Now, Tiv Chetz Chanito, so it says by Goliath, Chetz Chanito means his like arrow. Or Chetz Chanito, his arrow. The Korean Eitz Chanito, but the way we read it is like the shaft of his spear. He says, Amar Blazar, Adain Loigan Lechatzi Shva Kosh Lo Torah Shah. In other words, Chetz alludes to Chatzi. Means as much as the Navi describes him and all of his strengths, we haven't even, in other words, not even half of who and what he was. So from here, one can deduce that one's prohibited to, like, you know, laud a Rasha. If somebody's a Rasha, you shouldn't, like, laud them, like, praise them. So the verse is, the lift up big file. So why does Navi even get involved with saying who and what he was? Because that he took on like this monster, right. And he comes over here. Listen to Rashi. He says, "Lo du yishvah pei David, shelcham yidibor kamo." He's a young guy, and he takes on this big gibor. All right, you know, there's a lav in the Torah of lo techanim. So lo techanim. So Chazal darshan a lot of different things from it, but one thing Chazal darshan out is lo titein lahem chayim, that you shouldn't, you know, ascribe, you know, positive things to non-Jews. In other words, like you shouldn't say that it's so wonderful and things like that. So there was once an incident. I don't know if it's exactly the same thing as with Gemara. Here they weren't saying you shouldn't be Misakhar in the Sevach of Russia. Oh, they weren't saying like going general. But there was an incident in Poland between the wars where the Jewish community wanted to write to the Polish prime minister. And I don't know if it was about Shkita. Like they always have these issues where they were banning Shkita. That might have been it. I don't remember. So they wrote the letter, and they said, like, to his honor, this, that, the other, like, the prime minister. So the Chafetz Chaim said, to take out one of the praises. He says, it's not appropriate, you know, like, you have, like, a, you know, like, a non-Jew to praise him so much. That's what the Chafetz Chaim said. All right, let's see further tomorrow. Now, there's also a piece that we have time. We'll do this. Let me make sure I get through.
But did anyone explain why Orpah turned? She didn't come off as a bad person in the Megillah. Yeah. I didn't think.
Yeah, no. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. So you look and report back to us tomorrow. Okay, Fern, look in the Mefarshim, get back to us tomorrow. We want to hear why Orpah turned back. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So we're 10 lines to the bottom. So then the Mishnah said also that the Kohen is the Meshuch Malkam. He says that, you know, the Goyim, they put their faith in their, like they're strong people. So the Ammonim, they relied on Shovach, was their general. And he died. Keep Shovach. So if you look at the Pesukim, in one place it's spelled Shovach, another Shovach. So Rashi helps us out here. He says, in Sefer Shmuel, it says Shovach, and in Divrei Yamim, it says Shovach. So it sounds pretty similar, but one's a base and one's a pay. So Rabu Shmuel, Kadamar, Shovach Shmuel. So one says his real name was Shovach with a pay. Why was he called Shovach? Chasui Kishovach. He was built like a Shovach, a dove coat. So either means big and tall, like a dove coat, or another shot that the article brought down, like a dove coat has got many compartments. So he had lots of pockets for all of his weapons and things like that. But anyway, a formidable adversary. The Chadamar, Shovach Shmuel. The other one says his real name was Shovach. Why was he called Shovach? Is this sobriquet, like we like to say? Shekola Roel Toon, Nishpach Lepanat Titon. Whoever would see him would be pouring out like a Titon, like a, you know, like a jug of water. But so the article said like their fear would overtake them, like their bravery would leave them. I thought, like, you go to the bathroom, you see him, like, you know, like that's what I thought the shot would be. So now it says,
because he was too big and strong.
Yeah, he's like, you're scared of this guy. So now the Gemara goes to a different topic. It's just because we quoted the Machloket Rav and Shmuel. So now we can quote a different pasuk. Also Machloket Rav and Shmuel. Ashbato Kever Patuach Kulam Giborim. This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar's army. So the Ashbato Kever Patuach. So the Pshutosh Mekra Ashbato is the quiver where the arrows are. It's Kever Patuach. It's like a graveyard. In other words, like, you stood up with these guys, you're dead. Kulam Giborim. They were all like strong warriors. Rav and Shmuel, Amin La Rebami Rabasi, Chalamar B'Shash Zorkin Chaitz, that when they would shoot an arrow, one arrow, Osinash Batonish Potosho Kalalim, that they had like piles and piles of dead people from the one arrow. The Shema Tamar Shumanimikab, maybe to say it's like the very skilled, that's what it was. Tamalomar Kulam Givorim, it's just like they might have been skilled, but they were also tremendous warriors. The Chalamar B'Shash Osin Sorchein, when they go to the bathroom, Osinash Batonash Potosho Zevel, the three big piles of Zevel. This reminded me of like Jurassic Park. Like there's a scene where they see like the leftover from the dinosaurs, like a big pile. So the point is that these big strong warriors, they eat a lot and they have a lot of ashba. Zemo. The Shema Tamar Meshacholi Me'ayimhei. Maybe it's because they got, you know, intestinal problems. Tamalomar Kulam Giborim. No, they're not the problems. They're strong guys. So Amarav Mari Shvamina Haiman Danafish Ziblei. If a person has a lot of zevel, so he's got intestinal problems. So Lamai Nafmina, what's the Nafmina been telling us that? Litraf Benafshe, meaning so that he should go to doctors and try to get the cure because he's got a problem. So two more lines. Da'agablevish Yashchena. If a person has fear in his heart or worries, Yashchena, he should quash it. Reb Ami Rabasi Chanamar. Yashchena b'daitos. The word is darshening the word yashchena, which is a shin yamanit, as if it's a shin smali, like a samet. So yashchena b'daito. In other words, he should like cause it to leave his thinking. In other words, like osek and other things, so he doesn't focus on that. B'chadamar yashchena l'acheir. One said he should talk it out to other people. Like that's what they usually quote. Da'gab avish yashchena l'acheir. Okay, let me say a few words, and then we'll talk for a bit, and that's it. Now,
which one is supposed to be the answer?
All right, they're both true. Now, the Rambam rules. Okay. The Rambam rules is prohibited to praise idolaters, even to speak positively about their physical characteristics is prohibited, and certainly to praise their behavior or words is prohibited. The rationale behind this prohibition is concerned that one will develop a stronger relationship with them which will ultimately lead to emulating the behavior. They'll just say, oh, it's so fantastic, this, that, the other. So then eventually, you know.
Can you slow down, please?
Okay, we only have just 3 minutes, Ruth, so I'm trying to balance time versus what we got to say here.
We have eight long minutes.
No, we don't have to go down to my... We have 3 minutes, we got to go down. I got to break in 3 minutes. This ruling is also recorded in Shulchan Aruch without dissent, which raises the question whether it's permitted to praise non-Jews for their accomplishments and achievements. The Shuvah Sitz Eliezer addressed this question and presented a number of reasons for leniency. One approach for leniency is to distinguish between individual non-Jews and non-Jewish nations. The rationale for the prohibition is the fear that a Jew will decide to forge a relationship with that non-Jew that will ultimately lead the Jew to learn from the non-Jew's behavior. This concern, however, does not apply to an entire nation. It's not possible to forge a relationship with an entire nation. In other words, if I say, you know, like something positive about the French or the Italians, so that might be different. And then he quotes the source, which I don't have time. And a second circumstance is permitted to praise non-Jews matters related to ethical and moral behavior. Rambam's concern is that Jew may become endeared to the behavior of the non-Jew, and the behavior is good. It's not permitted to learn from their ways, certainly praise them for that behavior. I'm making this a little short. And then another leniency comes from our Gemara. It says that all the positive attributes of Goliath, and doesn't even half of what he deserves, he says, but the only reason he mentioned about Goliath was to praise David Amela. So we see when the praise of a non-Jew will lead to greater praise of a Jew is permitted. Okay, let me just do one story though. Yep. Now, on today's talk, we find that liars are among the seven groups that are not worthy of receiving the divine presence. Was it seven groups or four groups? I thought four groups that there we had. A certain young man received a call from his mentor, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zitzal. He explained there was an elderly man who needed treatment who had been dismissed and he was discharged from the hospital because his doctors claimed they couldn't help him recover. The man could not pay for private doctors and definitely needed treatment. Whether the treatment helped or not was up to Hashem, but halachically, he must be treated. Shlomo Zalman concluded, you must think of a plan to get this unfortunate man like admitted or readmitted to the hospital. The young man immediately devised a subterfuge. He picked the man up in a cab and drove him to a different hospital. When he arrived, he approached the admissions officer and said, I don't know this man's identity, but I found him on Rehov Yafo. It is clear to the meanest intelligence that he requires treatment. He must have made him immediately. So he says the plan works. He found an identity card in him and admitted him. The young man was very happy that his brilliant plan had actually worked. He went to Rav Shlomo Zalman and reported glowingly how he managed to completely fool the hospital staff. To his surprise, Rav Shlomo Zalman looked at him angrily. The young man was completely at a loss and couldn't understand Rav Shlomo Zalman's censure. His bewilderment was obvious, so Rav Shlomo Zalman explained himself, I appreciate your efforts on the unfortunate man's behalf, but why do you come to me with such a smiling face? You achieved your aims through a sheker. It is true the matter was pikuach nefesh, and you had to lie to get the man admitted, but who permitted you to rejoice and gloat over such deception? You should have told me out of heartbreak, not elation. Okay, let me end the recording, and I'll talk to you 1 second.